Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny kicks off on 106.7 The Fan. In case you're curious, gray t-shirt with blue jeans and some black kicks.
I got jeans on. I got my jeans on today.
It's a comfortable jeans day.
Well, I'm not working out because I fell down the stairs the other day. Everything still hurts, so I'm just going to go home.
You fell down the stairs, but you didn't break anything.
No.
Sore.
It just really sore. I actually do think I bruised a rib. I think that's something that happened. It's either that or like there's a muscle pull involved. Whole point is it's embarrassing. I'm such an old Lilo and Stitch.
Will Brinson's our good buddy from CBS Sports, his Eye on NFL blog. Will, you ever fallen down your stairs?
Not since college, I don't think. I've come closer. Like, I've slipped walking up or, like, walking down, mostly walking up, I think. Like, you know, like, I'll be, like, running up and slip, and you realize that you're, like, that's almost more dangerous because then you can face plant and then slide back as opposed to, you know, running down, you're just going to land on your bottom, as we say in my house, and then careen down towards the bottom of the stairs.
I was wearing socks, and I'll give you a blow-by-blow of it. And I don't know what happened. I still can't explain it, but I get to the landing, and I somehow missed a step or whatever, and I realized I'm not touching anything. I'm just up, and I'm looking up at the ceiling, and one of the stairs is, like, right into the mid-back, and my elbow's bruised, and so is my ego, and I'm embarrassed, and everything's sore, and I'm just old and pathetic.
Yeah, if you you can tell that by the fact that you slipped in, like, you're like, I was wearing socks at the beginning. Like,
right.
It mattered.
Like, that's enough.
Okay.
Cowboys-Bills on Thanksgiving. Neither of these teams has beaten anybody. If one beats the other, do we count that as a quality win?
Yeah. If the Cowboys can beat somebody with a winning record, I think we count it. The Bills, too. The Bills have beaten you run through it, it's bad. It's like basically the Dolphins twice, the Jets, you know, when they were terrible. And it's
they have
just
the
not
worst 8-win resume through 11 games I think I've ever seen.
I think that they might have the easiest strength of schedule like the last 10 years. Like their strength of schedule is like 33% or something, or like the 0.33 winning percentage. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I sort of lean towards the Cowboys in this one, especially when you look at the Bills. They're like bottom five in the NFL in terms of explosive runs allowed. They give up a ton of long runs. And, you know, we're talking about a team of Zeke Elliott. Theoretically, I think the Cowboys could show up for this game. They're not very good against a spread over the last decade in Dallas on Thanksgiving, which I guess is kind of a concern. Probably has something to do with the fact that their coward of a coach doesn't prepare very well in a short week. But I do think that they are a good team when, for whatever reason, you know, Jason Garrett's seat gets hot. They seem to kind of respond, which is, you know, unfortunately for Cowboys fans, they keep him employed. And I just don't know if the Bills match up very well with the Cowboys. Like, the Bills' secondary is good, but I don't know that you can necessarily lock down all the Cowboys' weapons. I mean, even the Patriots' great defense in that weather, you know, gave up some bigger plays. And I think it would have been a more high-flying game if it had been in Dallas, you know, and not in the conditions. So I like the Cowboys in this spot. I also tend to like the over a little bit. And I think that the Cowboys, you know, pick up a win here and help keep pace with the Eagles, who have an incredibly easy schedule until the two teams meet in Week 16.
Yeah, Will, help me with this. Why is everyone acting like it's this grand embarrassment? They went on the road and lost to New England in a one-possession game. And Jerry Jones said, well, this is a miscarriage of justice, and I want everybody to fight, and I hate everybody. It's so bizarre to me. You could be embarrassed about the Jets' loss, but why are you embarrassed about losing to New England, one of the best teams in the NFL? I don't get it.
Is Jerry Jones from Louisiana now?
Yeah, absolutely is, during my bad impression.
That was a good Fletch Lives accent that you got going there. I like it.
That's a good pull.
A crawl dad. Maybe even Kentucky, like what's the Foghorn Leghorn? That was a little Foghorn Leghorn. I like it. My Jerry Jones vacillates wildly from like George W. Bush to Foghorn Leghorn.
There's a happy medium in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would – The weirdest thing I thought, and he was on, I guess, sister station 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, right? He was on there, and they were like, hey, you know, they definitely confirmed that he's mad about Jason Garrett, that he's, you know, he's examining everything. But then they were like, what did you think about the fourth down calls? And Jerry Jones basically like, I don't care if he uses analytics or not. I don't think it's that big a deal. Said something about drilling for oil. He was mad that this is what I took from it. He was mad that the team wasn't ready for the conditions and didn't prepare for it. And I think there is something to that in the sense of, and I don't know if maybe Jerry didn't express it well because he's bad about this, but you know, like when they were setting like on the where they had the fourth and seven and they kicked, and I get everybody was mad that they kicked on fourth and seven. I'm more mad that they let it get to fourth and seven. They ran that like the end around toss play on first down, and then Zeke picked up a first down on second down on a screen pass where he made a great play. Third down or the next first down, they ran that freaking option toss in the wind and rain in New England when you're going to like score a touchdown to go up and take a lead of the Patriots. You're going to run an option with Dak Prescott. Get out of here! It's insane. Then on second and seven, they take a shot to Jason Witten in double coverage. Then on third and seven, they take a shot out of the back of the end zone to Blake Jarwin in double coverage. And so then you're stuck with fourth and seven. Why not use second and third down to set yourself up for a convertible fourth down? That was really my problem. And I think that I just thought that it was just a classic Jason Garrett game, poorly managed. You know, there were just cases where Bill Belichick was more prepared than the Cowboys, and that's why they won. I mean, that game could have really, you know, put a dent in the Eagles' hopes if the Cowboys go there and win and really, you know, progress Dak Prescott's would-be Heisman or MVP campaign. So I get it. It's not that big a deal. You lose the Patriots, but it just looks sloppy the whole time to me.
Bears Lions 12:30 kickoff early game tomorrow. You got to take a quarterback. You're a GM for the, let's say next season, Jeff Driskel or Mitch Trubisky. Who you taking?
Oh God. I would take Trubisky, I guess. Is Jeff Driskel, like, he is young, but he looks like he's old. He somehow looks like he's only 26, but when you see like his latest like headshot for the NFL, he looks like he's like 42 years old. I would take Trubisky, but it's close. I mean, that's the sad thing. I might even take David Blau instead.
Hey, and the nightcap, New Orleans, I feel like they just played Atlanta a few weeks ago, which they did. And Atlanta played its best game of the season. Defensively looked like the greatest team ever. New Orleans couldn't do squat. 26-9 Falcons win. Rematch here tomorrow night. What's that going to look like?
Well, before that last Falcons game, I think it's worth noting, Evan Silva, Established a Run pointed this out. I heard him say it first. Sean Payton apparently got engaged on Friday night before that Falcons game. I mean, I don't know about you guys. When I got engaged on a Friday night too. I tell you, I wasn't working on Saturday. I mean, I was, you know, I mean, like you're laying around like eating like omelets and like, ah, but most of the time, sure. You know, you're not building a game plan. So I'm just, you know, just worth noting. I think that the Saints will take care of business here. I'm a little worried about Matt Ryan. I thought against the Buccaneers, who have probably the worst pass defense in football, and they have a good run defense with Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea, so they typically tend to funnel the ball to the pass. I was just amazed at how bad Matt Ryan looked. He didn't seem to have his fastball. He didn't seem to be throwing with anticipation or accuracy or velocity to the outside. He couldn't really utilize Julio Jones the way that he should have. And I just thought that was a really rough game. And I would anticipate that game against the Buccaneers serves as sort of a deflating of the balloon that had kind of built up a bit after they beat the Saints and the Panthers. I like the under here. It's dropped down to 48.5. I think the Saints will roll them. And but I would, if I was going to bet on this game, I'd take the Saints team total over at 28 because I just think the Falcons offense is going to look lethargic against a motivated New Orleans team that knows it has the 49ers coming. And if it wins this game, it's probably playing for home field advantage in the NFC playoffs.
Will Brinson, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Thanks for all that you do for our show, for the station. Much appreciated, buddy.
You guys got it anytime, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Will.
You too, man. Have a wonderful holiday. There's Will Brinson on Grant and Danny. The Redskins' talent, where is it at compared to some of the other teams in the division? Do we talk enough about the fact that maybe they're not even close to turning this thing around? Just go position by position and assess the talent groups next on The Fan. Who has been a Redskin for 3 hours, who has played two-thirds of an NFL season, essentially, who's really good. He's not spectacular yet. I mean, he's unbelievable. I'm not going to say a negative word about the guy. Wonderful talent, on pace for 1,000 yards, but he's not really done much in the NFL other than have a couple of big games on for a terrible offense on a bad team. But is that where we are, that Terry McLaurin, the third-round pick from Ohio State, who we spent the offseason saying would be a good special teamer, who's had a banner rookie year, is he the best player on this team right now?
Yes. And
is he the most coveted talent on this team? You're a GM of another club, and you get to do this like the NHL has these expansion drafts, and everyone is unprotected. You get to just pick a Redskin. Is he the guy you pick?
It would be because of the contract, because it's his first year.
But if contract's not part of it?
Then he may be in the top three or four. I mean, somebody in the eye of the beholder. Somebody might like Daron Payne or Ioannidis or Jonathan Allen better. But for the most part, that's who you're talking about. And this is kind of the point that I made, not very adequately, in the preseason and kind of leading up to this whole thing. And it's the point I've been making indirectly. When you look at how the Redskins are structured, their high-money guys don't play for them or don't contribute at a high level. It's Alex Smith, it's Trent Williams, it's Jordan Reed, it's Josh Norman. All of those guys are either bad and now benched or just not playing for either injury or hatred.
Yeah, but only one of those guys is really even that good, and that's Trent Williams, which maybe is another conversation.
It is another conversation. But Trent is still, you know, whether you think he's the best player on the team or otherwise, still very productive and very good, a Pro Bowl caliber player. Jordan Reed, if healthy, can be productive and a positive player, right? He would be, I'd still say, their best offensive weapon if he were available. Well, he may never be available again.
I'd like to agree with that, except that, you know, last year he was pretty average compared to the past. Like, the days of the great Jordan Reed seem to be gone. Mm-hmm. Now, we were sold to Bill of Goods all offseason that he was going to be better than ever.
Well, he got to train in a certain way that was supposed to make a difference.
He got a concussion, which was bad luck, and maybe had that not have happened, maybe he would have been back to 2015 Jordan Reed. I'm not sure that he ever plays again. But yeah, you could put him in the Trent Williams category over the Alex Smith, Josh Norman category, where just because those guys are paid a lot doesn't mean they're great players. Alex Smith is a very average quarterback. Pulling for him to get back, by the way. I love the inspirational video that was posted of him, you know, with his year recovery that's ongoing right now. And I hope he gets to take another snap in this league. It'd be incredible to watch, and it'd be a great, great ending to a sad story. But he and Josh Norman are overpaid for what they can give you.
Without question.
I don't have a problem with overpaying quarterbacks. That's the way the market works. I have a big problem with overpaying defensive players. It's not really the way the market works. But McLaurin's really good. Who else on the team is really good? I guess that's my question. Now, we talk a lot about John Allen. John Allen, and I think Daron Payne's actually had a better season, for the record. I think Daron Payne has become their best defensive lineman. If you're talking about noticeable impact, Matt Ioannidis probably makes a more noticeable impact than either of those two guys. Now, that does not mean that they're not extremely valuable commodities and that they're not outstanding at what they get paid to do, because as much as getting after the quarterback, they're run stuffers. But Daron Payne this year has a sack. You know, if you're looking at quarterback hits, quarterback hurries, he's not really giving you a lot of that. I think he's been great, though. John Allen's got 4.5 sacks, which is fine. He's going to end up with 7, 7.5 probably this season as a defensive end. You're not getting paid to do that in a 34 scheme. But Ioannidis is more noticeable. His name gets called more. All three of those guys are good. Are any of them great?
I don't think great. I think they're good. They are certainly not weaknesses. No. They're not problems. And they stand out relative to the rest of the Redskins. Just because, and this is my theory all along with a lot of guys, just because we know their name and they always start doesn't mean they're actually good.
Are all three of them Pro Bowl caliber players or no?
I think best case, yes, for each one, but you're not going to see all three of those guys in a Pro Bowl in the same year.
Well, of course not, but I don't even mean
logistically.
That. I mean, are those guys Pro Bowl type NFL players? Possibly.
I would say yes.
At this point, I would say none of the three will ever win an All-Pro.
Agree with that.
As an elite defensive lineman.
But the way I think of it is, if I'm just pick your team. Now, you may have another squad that's not built the same, that runs a 4-3, different scheme, whatever. But just assume all things are equal. Binary yes or no. Would Matt Ioannidis start for you? The answer is yes to an enormous majority of the teams. Same would go for Allen. And I think same would go for Daron Payne as well. Again, different skill sets, different teams, different asks, right? what one team wants you to line up directly over the center, occupy two blockers. The other team wants you to penetrate Aaron Donald style. The point is, I think those guys are all good. Maybe not as great as we thought they were, but they're all good.
How many players on the Redskins are great?
None.
Maybe you're right. I mean, I don't even like my word choice already because great's so hard to define. How many of them have star potential? How many of them are game planned for? How many of them are coveted? Maybe is the best way to do it.
Coveted.
How many guys on the Redskins would a team trade a first round pick for?
None.
Right now,
none.
Would it, maybe someone would trade a first round pick for Terry McLaurin, desperate for a wide receiver? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Would anybody trade a first-round pick for Alan Payne Ryanitis?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
What about a second-round pick? Would someone trade a second-rounder for McLaurin?
Yeah.
What about those D-linemen? I think they probably
right
would.
Right team, right scheme, yeah. That could happen.
Is that it? Is that the four that we're talking about?
This is the point I'm making,
I think Quentin
yes.
Dunbar is really underrated. I think he's a better corner than people give him credit for and know at this point. And I wouldn't rule Landon Collins out of this conversation. I think Landon Collins as a box safety specifically is outstanding. He showed it this past week again. That dude is awesome against the run. But how many really good players do the Redskins have? We talk all the time about Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder and Jay Gruden and Bill Callahan and Greg Minuski. Maybe we don't talk enough about how far they are away from a talent standpoint. So here's the question for you guys next at 800-636-1067. We can go through every position group and kind of grade it out A to F. But what word do we want to use? Is coveted or just is great? What definition are we looking at?
You know what we're trying to get at. Who would other teams want to have? You know what I mean? When you look at the Redskins, it's not just who do you game plan for because the Redskins are their own entity. And if you're going to game plan, you'll do the best of that group. I just mean if you're another team that has a hole, would you be thrilled with fill in the blank Redskin?
Right.
So coveted, I think, is the word. I think that's the word.
Who would you trade a first or second round pick for on this team? 800-636-1067 is the number. It's kind of alarming when you start to try to answer the question and look around the roster. G&D on the Fan. Just saw a story from the LA Times, the official Thanksgiving food power rankings. I bring this up because it makes my case from earlier. So, Danny, I know you're in this camp, but know that I'm not making fun of you because you've been on this train since it left the station. As long as I've known you, you've
many
complained about
ago.
Turkey.
Yes.
But everyone now does this thing like, turkey's the worst. I have the first opinion about turkey being bad. And it's become the shtick of, if you're familiar with like Die Hard's my favorite Christmas movie, and it's mm-hmm. like everyone says that, like they're the first one to come up with that as a Christmas
like,
movie.
Like congratulations on your original thought.
Exactly. So now everyone does this turkey's no good. But I think this LA Times piece, the entire reason they did it was for the shock value of putting turkey last. They ranked 20 foods that are on the Thanksgiving table at different places.
20 foods, wow.
Turkey was 20th. The whole point of the piece was just to be able to say, turkey's no good, see?
I mean, I mean, turkey should go low in the rankings, but 20th out of 20.
It sounds like I'm standing on the table for turkey. That's not my goal. But we need to relax on the... Turkey is kind of... It's not... It doesn't have taste enough to be like that bad. It's just a thing that's there. And if you have dark meat, very solid,
yeah,
by the way.
It's
dark
okay.
meat with mashed potatoes is perfectly reasonable. You ever fried a turkey? It's actually delicious. Now, you could say, if I got to fry something, I don't want it. Okay, fine. But to 20 foods and it's 20th?
Yeah,
get out of here.
There's like a parsnip in there that's like 17th. Like, pipe down with that.
If you're curious, they put stuffing one.
Rightly so.
Mashed potatoes two.
Uh-huh.
We're off to a great start. Broccoli gratin third.
Nope.
That's where this list starts to
nope.
suck.
Okay. You're out.
So cranberries canned in the top five, you're wrong.
Broccoli gratin?
Ham is sixth, by the way. Don't tell me how terrible turkey is and tell me how great ham is.
Ham pummels turkey.
Ham is better than turkey. Ham is not the sixth best item out of 20 items at Thanksgiving.
No, those other carbs you can have.
Macaroni and cheese seventh. They got corn eighth.
I'm going to tell you this. If macaroni and cheese and broccoli gratin faced off, broccoli gratin would die. And it would die in a fire, and it would be painful, and it would be a big display, and there'd be no funeral because it's ridiculous.
There would be stories written the next day asking if mac and cheese ran up the score or should have taken more knees against broccoli.
They should have handed it off. What do you want me to do? My backups ran for touchdowns too, said mac and cheese.
103-0 would be on ESPN.com, some high school in like Memphis where this weird score happened. Green Bean Casserole, by the way, cracked the top 10.
What list is this?
11 spots above.
What publication is this?
Again, it's the LA Times. It's just their way of being the latest cool guy in the room to say, turkey's no good.
They're like, vegan grass, 16th.
Anyway, we're talking about how untalented and how poor the Redskins roster is
right now. It's the broccoli gratin of rosters.
They've got a lot of young players. You give them that. About half the roster is 25 or under. So that's good. How many guys are coveted? How many players on the Redskins roster would other teams want to try to trade for, give up high draft picks for? The first-round pick question, I think, is interesting. Trent Williams this year, I think, would have gotten a first-round pick.
I do, too.
By the way, somehow, amazingly, they chose not to do that. We should talk about that for 4 hours a day every day. That is such a joke that Bruce Allen didn't trade Trent Williams. It might be the most ludicrous and outrageous thing he's done as the team president.
I think it is. I think it's his one seed. I think this is his opus. This is his Sistine Chapel.
There's some good ones in there. There's some candidates.
Of course.
That might be the award winner. I don't think McLaurin would get you a one right now. I think he'd probably get a two.
I agree.
And then I think Matt Ioannidis is not getting a second-round pick. I'm sorry, that's just not happening. Allen or Payne, perhaps, who were early first-round picks, might get twos. I think you could probably get a two for Dwayne Haskins. If not, you could definitely get a three. That guy was just drafted 15th, and a lot of draft experts said he should have gone in the top five.
So somebody would see it and say, hey, we can mold that?
That arm strength?
Yeah.
You kidding me? I need a quarterback. I think you could get a two for him, right?
I wouldn't think so, just given how little he's done, but maybe.
Josh Rosen got a two last year.
That's true.
Now, Josh Rosen had a much better rookie year than Dwayne Haskins has had so far, even though he was not very good. But at least by the end of the year, he was like 1-1 touchdown to picks, had double-digit touchdowns.
And I was getting ready to go through all the different things for Josh Rosen, but they're really similar to what happened with the Redskins. Coach got fired, a whole new staff. I'm like, oh, that's about to happen.
Right. Melvin's in Lorton. Melvin, when's the last time you looked at the Redskins roster and just went position by position to remind yourself of how far off they are?
I look at their roster all the time, and I ain't going to lie. I don't think we have a lot of talent there, but I do think we have some good talent there. I think that our talent is mismanaged a lot, especially with on the defensive end. And a prime example is Preston Smith leaving and going to Chicago. You think Preston Smith going to the Packers, do you think he any different player than he was in Washington? No, he just in a different scheme, which make him a better player. Minuski's defense been stinking for years.
So I you're probably right, and I think it's a great phone call. Here's what I don't know. I don't know if this is like one-off, kind of a fluke thing that we're now making a lot more out of. I have to believe that, yes, Preston Smith maybe was held back by scheme some. But same thing. You know, Preston Smith's having a great year. Let's talk in 2 or 3 years if he's had 13 sacks three times. Then I'll completely buy in.
Yeah.
Preston Smith here was just okay. I mean, he had a lot of chances to make plays where he didn't, where he was put in a position where he could have done something and a quarterback got away or he played a bootleg poorly. Maybe some of that's coaching. I don't know. There's a good chance. Would Montez Sweat have more than 2.5 sacks somewhere else right now? Possibly. Not really sure. I guess my point is that there's a collection of guys on this team that are young and interesting. Sweat, Holcomb, Ioannidis, Settle, Dunbar.
Those are all names on defense, by
Moreau.
The way.
I'm just looking at the defense. On offense, I would throw Harmon, McLaurin.
To me, I think it's McLaurin. And yeah, I guess Geis,
Geis is talented.
If he gets 3 weeks without being hurt, but then yes, there'd be some intrigue there. But to me, the defensively, I think to the caller's point, there are names on that defense where you go, I feel like this should be better than it is in terms of talent.
But they
have
good games too. I mean, like this past weekend, they won the game.
They were good.
Everyone's
throwing
a party because Dwayne Haskins got a win. They turned the Lions over four times. They didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Totally true.
And they won the game.
That's where they've invested early round picks over the last several years. That's where they've done what you needed to do in order to build that nice young core.
A to F real quick, rapid fire. Quarterback position.
F this year.
F?
Yeah, their quarterback play has been an F. It's been among the worst in the league.
I'll say D. Keenum early on wasn't horrendous in a couple. Like that Eagles game wasn't very bad. The first half of the Vikings game. But I'll say D, D minus. Running back.
D.
I'll say C. I like Geis. Peterson's been fine. Thompson got hurt, but he was catching the ball. Offensive line.
C.
I'll go see. You know who's been better than I
Eric Flowers.
Thought was Eric Flowers.
Eric Flowers is the answer to that.
Give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
He moved to guard and he's been okay. Defensive line.
C plus?
I'll go B. Linebacking core.
C.
I'll go C. Disappointed by the Kerrigan production and the Sweat production. Holcomb's been better than I thought. And Bostic,
especially
last couple
lately,
weeks,
yeah,
has been awesome.
Last couple weeks been good.
Bostic flies around, man.
Yeah.
He's a decent player for a guy that bounces around team to team every year. Cornerbacks.
D.
D as well. Dunbar, better than people know. Norman has been bad, and Moreau's been bad before this week.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Moreau's better on the outside than in the slot.
I think this is a small sample, but to me, that's yes.
Right.
Like I know I'm overreacting to 1 week, but yes.
Safety.
D.
I'll go C minus. You don't notice Monte Nicholson very often, and I think that Landon Collins is good in the box.
I think Collins is good in the box. I just where are my plays? I thought there'd be more plays.
I would like more.
You know what
plays.
I mean? I just thought there'd be more things.
Maybe on a good defense in a better position, like the caller just said, he'd make more plays.
I mean, he's still got seven right tackles for a loss and a sack.
Yeah, right now it's just go make 11 tackles
right.
and stop the run some.
Yeah.
When they play bad offenses, he has great games. I don't know what that says, but like Detroit comes to town.
That's right. It says something.
He has a great game. Evan Abrams of the Action Network joins us next. We'll get some betting lines on tomorrow's games and on the Redskins and the Panthers on G&D right here on The Fan. 34 years ago today.
34 years ago?
November 27th, 1985.
I couldn't tell you. The Redskins won an important game against the Giants.
It's a great guess.
I guess that.
I was looking for Rocky Balboa shocked the world.
Oh, wow.
Knocking out Ivan Drago in the 15th round.
Wait. That's from 85? So that's Rocky IV?
Yeah.
That's the I could change. Anyone can change speech where he ended the Cold War?
November 27th.
Wow.
1985. It's been 34 years since that KO.
I thought that was a little bit later. Good for you. Good for you for stumping the Schwab over here.
Well, I got to thank Instagram, I'll be honest with you. I want to complain about camera tickets before we get out of here. But first, our buddy Evan Abrams of the Action Network joins us now. He is sponsored by the Action Network. Looking for an edge? Download the free Action Network app and get live odds and expert analysis for every game. Evan, Redskins this weekend in Charlotte against the Panthers. How's the line looking?
Well, first of all, happy pre-Thanksgiving, guys. And they're double-digit dogs right now. 10 points, 66% of the tickets on Carolina. And, you know, coming off a straight-up win, Washington, you know, looking all right, looking okay. Haskins taking photos, so things are okay there. The last time the Redskins won consecutive games, 10-28-18, it's been a minute. So the thing that I'm looking at here is the Kyle Allen experience. He's 22 sacks in his last five games, tied for the most in the NFL. Washington, eighth in adjusted sack rate. They really do have a chance here to take advantage. And Kyle Allen, game by game by game, you just don't know what you're going to get. Three touchdowns, no picks. No touchdowns, four picks. He just goes back and forth. Now, this game right now, seeing heavy, heavy money on the under, it's moved from 41 down to 39.5. Almost 90%+ of the money right now on the under in this one. And I see it as the right play, and I also kind of like the points with Washington. Game, to me, the double-digit dog, after a straight-up win, you guys just aren't getting respect. I think Haskins looked a little bit better last week. So 3-1 this year in that spot, I think it's an interesting play, especially with the full 10.
Buffalo-Dallas is the line that jumps out at me here. Dallas, 7-point favorite in some of the books, 6.5 in others. That's a little bit bigger than I thought. It sounds like not a lot of belief in Buffalo, and it sounds like people think when Dallas has Jason Garrett on the hot seat, some wagons will be circled here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you on Buffalo, but the history doesn't help us. Favorites on Thanksgiving are 30-11 against the spread since 03. Teams favored by 6 or more, 16-3 against the spread. So basically, when you see these scenarios on short weeks, the good looks good, the bad looks bad. And it really shows in these short week situations. But I'm with you. The biggest advantage Dallas is going to have in this game is on the ground with Zeke. Buffalo's rush defense, allowing 4.4 yards per carry, outside the top 20, and 26 in DVOA. But you know what the problem with that is? Jason Garrett has to make the right call, right? And he's got to give the ball to Zeke a lot in this game and not rely on Dak. I just don't know if I have faith in that. I kind of like the points as well. The other in this one, I like the under. Buffalo 8-3 to the under, averaging 4.1 to the under, and two of those three were against the Dolphins that went over. So one of the worst defenses there. I kind of like the under in this game as well.
Chicago-Detroit started at -1.5 for the Lions and has completely flipped from what I'm seeing here. The Chicago is now -4. How did this line move so much?
Yeah, this is just all about the Detroit quarterback situation. And as I'm looking at the Sports Insight board right now from Action Network, Chicago up to -4. And tomorrow, I expect this to go even higher. Right now, 80% of the tickets on Chicago, 84% of the money. Everyone's going to back up to try to play Chicago against a team that's going to probably start David Blau from Purdue. This is such a tough call to pick either side. When you have a game where you have Mitch Trubisky as the best quarterback, I kind of have to walk away. I'm going to look at the under in this one. I'm actually going to look at the under almost across the board this week. I think there is a lot of games that have value with the under just based on short weeks, some teams on extended rest, but what a tough one. Lions haven't covered since 10-14, 0-5-1 in their last six. They're just reeling right now. So to pick a side, flip a coin, in my opinion.
Evan, thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time all season long, man, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you guys enjoy the holiday.
Thank you, Evan. Evan Abrams on with us, sponsored by the Action Network. If you're looking for an edge, download the free Action Network app and get live odds and expert analysis for every game. Real quick, I just want to say I hate camera tickets in D.C.
They're the worst.
They're absolutely ridiculous.
It's my one thing on my platform.
They shouldn't be allowed. They should just be illegal.
Agreed.
Your boy's wife was driving, I think, back from or to Capitol Arena, I don't know, on 295, and headed out of D.C. It was late at night, and there's like a construction zone now over by the water treatment plant on 295, where they've moved the speed limit down to 40 in a construction zone. It's just an open highway, three lanes, should never be 40, but it's a construction zone. So when people are working,
it's just
it's
a trap.
40.
That's what it is. It's a money-making trap.
So she was going 50 miles an hour in a 40 or 51 or whatever it was, and got a speeding ticket for 11 or 12 over, $200.
Yep.
If we don't pay it immediately, it becomes $400. Very stupid. I want that not to happen.
Yeah, it's a money grab under the guise of safety. And if you complain about it, well, you don't like safety? You're anti-safety?
Yeah, I got a bunch of people on Twitter yesterday saying, why don't you just obey the law? You don't have to worry about it. Okay, tough guy. We're just driving down the street here very safely on a three-lane road with no one around us at 52 miles an hour. I think everyone's going to be okay.
Well, why don't we surveil you? The person that's telling me how to live my life under the guise of law. Let's surveil you and see if you're living everything exactly right, and we can start finding you.
That's just a terrible take. Maybe if you didn't speed, you wouldn't have to pay the fine. Yeah, keep defending camera tickets.
Yeah, that's what when people complain.
That's a good hill to die on.
When people complain to government officials or like city council folks, they're like, well, just obey the posted speeds limits and the laws. Nope, don't find me. You don't have to find me. People
Real
are fine
plenty. One thing I'm worried about, Danny. Ryan Kerrigan did not practice today with a concussion.
Yeah.
He could miss a game for the first time in his NFL career. Drafted in 2011, he's never missed a game. Could miss his first this Sunday in Charlotte.
Two things for me real quick. Tonight, RamsHeadOnStage.com. That's RamsHeadOnStage.com. Taking the stage in Annapolis for some stand-up. That'll be fun. And then next Friday night, it's coming quick. Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg. TallyHoTheater.com for those tickets.
If you missed any part of today's show, go to Radio.com. Use the 24-hour rewind function. Get that app if you don't have it. TheFanDC.com is where you can link up on all our podcasts. For Grant and Danny, thanks for listening. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for listening to the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.